Hello.
Yes, President Truman's on the line.
Thank you.
I love you as everybody in America does, and I'm just so honored that you would take the time to call me.
Well, I called you because I think you set a record that's never been equaled and never will be.
No, anybody got your record, never equal it. When you go to looking at the Truman Doctrine and NATO and Marshall Plan and everything else, it makes all of us look like pygmies, and I know it, and that's one good thing about me. I got sense enough to know it, but
Well, you're all right in my book, and I just want to congratulate you. And I feel just as happy about it as you do.
I know you feel happier, because you always been more for your party and your other folks than you have been for yourself. And I just want you to know, as long as I'm in that office, you're in it, and it's not a privilege of it, or a power of it, or a purpose of it that you can't share. And your bedroom's up there waiting for you, and your plane standing by your side, and your doctors and anything else you want or need. Why, my God, Uncle Sam.
First time I'm able to travel and get around, I'd like to come see you and just talk over old times.
You just tell.
Nothing in view but to see Elizabeth Johnson.
You just tell them that, and you bring Margaret and your grandkids down, and we'll have a plane pick both of you up, and we'll just come there, and I want to get your advice and talk to you, and I think we got a good chance, but we're in trouble on foreign things. And
you're all right now, and you won't have any serious trouble at all, and if there's anything I can do to help you, know I'm available.
Well, you've done it. I came to you when I wanted to know how to run for vice president. I came to you and I want to know how to run for president. And I think that we gave them a good mauling, just what you wanted them given, didn't we?
Just exactly what they ought to have had. It's the finest thing that's happened in the history of the country.
They rubbed their nose in it.
Well, that's right.
They were dirty. Oh! You don't know how dirty they were. They put out mean.
I do too. I got so damn mad I could kill somebody.
They put out these mean books and they questioned my integrity and my honesty. And
I know they did, but do you want to forget that? Because it's gone fast. The vast majority of the American people never believed a word of it.
Well, I know you didn't. And Clark Clifford told me, he said he read your radio speech. And he said, well, only Harry Truman can do this. They come and go from Washington, Jefferson, Jackson, but there's just one Harry Truman. I watched him all those years, and when somebody else may bunt and get on base, but when you want a cleanup hitter, he comes along and parks it.
Well, you're too kind to me, and so is he.
All your people have been awful loyal. I think you ought to know that. I think that everybody, whether it's Harry Vaughn or Charlie Murphy or Clark Clifford,
That was a finer bunch of fellows.
They worked free, and they
do anything in the world that they thought would help me, and I want them to do the same thing for you.
Clark Clifford thinks that you're the greatest man that ever lived, and he worked free for me against his own interest, against his own firm, just day after day when they were trying to smear me. And
I know that.
Charlie Murphy and Donald Dawson and Harry Vaughn and I think you ought to know that you didn't breed any of them that haven't got the right bloodlines.
Well, I appreciate that. And the first chance I have, the first opportunity I have, and I'm able to get around in good shape, I'm going to come see you.
Will you promise me one thing?
Yes.
Tell Miss Truman that we love her, but anything that you want or need,
you tell her.
All right, you just let me tell
Hello?
Her. Miss Truman? I was just.
Oh, we're so happy.
Oh, I know you are, and y'all is responsible for as any two in the nation. The wonderful work that you've done and the great help he's been to me. And
well, now that's mighty wonderful of you to say that.
No, but that's true. He's always had time for me. He's always.
Well, of course he would have.
He's always thought more of his party and his friends than he has for himself, and you make him watch himself now, because.
Well, I'm trying to.
He's no spring chicken.
No,
I want to tell you one thing, though.
Yes.
I want you to hear it. I've said this ever since I became president, but I want to reiterate it, and I don't want to overdo it. But anything that he wants or he needs or that somebody suspects would be good for him, from doctors to planes to coming to the White House for a few days, bringing his grandchildren, going any place, anybody that you want to consult with that we have. All you need to do is just drop me a postcard, because the facilities that every power and every purpose and every facility of this government is at his disposal as long as I'm around.
Oh, well, that's just marvelous.
And he's modest.
We remember that.
He's modest, and I'm going to depend on you now to say, I want you to send a couple of specialists out here quietly and put them in a plane. I want to have a plane out here. We want to go to New York, or I want to do this or that. And I've told him that 4 or 5 times, but he don't pay attention to me.
Well, it's mighty good of you to want to do that.
Well, I've already ordered it done.
And I certainly shall remember.
And if he needs any more help of any kind out there, you just please let me know, and it'll be available.
Thank you a million.
And
do give my love to Mrs. Johnson.
We love you both, and thank you for calling.
Well, not so.
Bye.